How many of you are thankful for Jesus Christ and what He's done? If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, if you're new, you're reading your Bible, which is okay. Everybody had to be new at some point in time, right? It's the first book of the New Testament. Get to the middle, go to the first book. I don't mind telling people that. I do mind you looking down on them when they're learning that. We all start somewhere. Let's start there. Matthew chapter 28. As we look at the Word of God, we look at truth. I'm going to approach this as I approach everything. Those of you who know me know this. I'm a pretty simple guy. Simple truths are the things that I love. Simple truths I have discovered as I've lived life are the things that we miss the most. And Satan is a mastermind at causing us to forget the simple thing. So we're going to talk about the confirmation of an empty tomb today. I'm not Lee Strobel. Some of you have read the book, seen the movie. I'm not going to come at Jesus Christ from an intellectual aspect initially, because I promise you this, I don't have a whole lot of intellect. I'm a very simple guy. It's pretty cut and dry to me. I've actually stood in the tomb. It's empty. So the fact of the matter is, you say, well, are you sure that was Jesus' tomb? I'm going to tell you this. I'm not 100% sure because I wasn't there when Jesus was there, but I'm sure of this. Some dead man got up out of a tomb. Now I know this, that if I go through the Word of God and I find historically where this might have taken place, it might have taken place right there where that empty tomb is. Because of the faith that He has imputed into me, therefore I stand in the position and say, this is the fact that Jesus' tomb is empty because I'm seeing it with my own eyes. I know you don't have the privilege, each of you, of doing that. But the old hymn says, you ask me how I know He lives within my heart. I know there's an empty tomb. Because the guy who was in that tomb is not in that tomb. He's in this old, wretched person who is he is rejuvenating and recreating to look like himself. And I'm thankful that He did what He had to do at the cross so that He could move in my life to change me for the glory of God. So I'm going to approach this from a simple point of view. Try not to complicate it too much. I promise you there's enough complicating Resurrection Sunday all over the world right now. How can we give it a new twist? How can we make it in a more attractive package? It's not attractive and it's not new. Right? Your 1982 Chevrolet, not attractive, not new. You can do what you want to do to it. It will never be a 2017 model. So let's don't make Jesus 2017. Let's look at the fact that nothing has changed in 2,000 years. The same empty tomb is empty. The same Savior who died on the cross for our sin is alive. The same blood that He shed is being applied and has already been applied to every single one of my sins and your sins if you're a believer here today. So let's look at this from a simple aspect. The confirmation of the empty tomb. Let's read Matthew chapter 28. I know what some of you church people are going to do. I'm going to read the first sentence. You're going to tune out because you've heard it before. Don't. Don't ever, ever, ever let what we're about to read get old to you. Because let me tell you something. Had what we're about to read not happened, you would have no hope. You would have no new life. You would have no hope of eternal life. You would have no changed life on this earth. Watch this. Let's read it again. Shout if you would. I would invite it. Chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week. Everybody say first day of the week. That's today. First day of the week. Watch it. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. They're speaking of the tomb of Jesus, the borrowed tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. It was his tomb. He was a rich man. He was in his garden. He had this tomb. Just as prophecy said, Jesus was going to be buried in this borrowed tomb. He was in fact buried in a borrowed tomb. Because He wasn't going to need it, but for 3 days. It says, verse 2, there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I love that. Every scholar will tell you when you dig up ancient graves and these tombs that there's no way one person could roll away that stone. It wasn't one person. It was an angel with the help of an earthquake that God provided that rolled the stone away. He goes on. Said he sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning. And his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus." Why? She loved him. She wanted to go see him. She wanted to go check on him. She was going to take the oils and the spices that she had prepared to anoint his body. She didn't have the opportunity to do that before he was placed in the tomb. He says, "I know that you're looking for the Jesus who was crucified. Watch this. Don't let this get old. He is not here. He is risen. Not he got moved in the night and some thieves stole him. He stood up on his own 2 feet, lady, and he walked out of here. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said." And now understand the tone here. It was almost like a duh. How many of you know this? You've walked with God long enough that when he promises you something, you can count on it more than you can count on anything else in all this world. It's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. He said, "He's not here. He's risen." Just like he said he was going to. I love that. Don't be shocked when God does supernatural things. He's a supernatural God. Just say, "That's my God." He said, "Just like he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Past tense. This is where he was. Come check it out. You don't believe me? You don't think he's risen? Walk on in here with me. Let me tell you something. I've walked through those doors. Something about it. Put yourself in that position. You go, "Wow, it's empty. He's not here. He was there. He's not here. He's not here. Come look where he was." Then go quickly and tell his disciples. Why? Because they were all in a house afraid that someone was going to arrest them and crucify them, just like they had seen their Savior crucified just days before. These chickens who just a few days before this were willing to die for him, they're all hiding out like a bunch of sissy girls. And the angel says, "Go get them. Tell him he's risen and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Can you imagine her running away from that tomb? She was getting it. How excited would you be if you were the first one to walk in the tomb? Listen, I was not the first one, and I was excited when I left. Suddenly Jesus met them. He was running to tell the disciples, "Hey, it gets better." So she's running, she's excited, Jesus is alive, you know the thoughts are going through her mind, "Where is he? Oh, I just want to see him." "There he is. Greeting," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." I want to talk about the fact, the statement here, that says, "He is not here, lady. But he's risen. He's alive." I want to talk about the things that this empty tomb should confirm to each of us who are seated here today. Number one, I want you to see this. The empty tomb confirms three things. We're going to talk about those three things. And we're going to give you some facts that will hopefully help you. Number one, Jesus is who he said he is. That empty tomb that day, as this woman approached the tomb and the angel said, "He's not here," I promise you, immediately, she knew then without a doubt, he is who he says he is. Let me tell you something. There is an empty tomb outside of Jerusalem that should prove to each of you simplistically. We don't even have to get intellectual with this. He is who he said he is. Because the fact of the matter is, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." It was no coincidence that he said that during his earthly ministry on this earth to his disciples. As he rose Lazarus from the grave, he showed them, "I have the power." Some of them still doubted. Some of them missed it. But he came into the world with the power of life and death at his disposal. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me shall never die." Let me tell you something. Those words rang out in this woman's ear. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He is the hope that he proclaimed that he was. And here's the thing. You know how you know she figured this out? Because immediately when she saw him, she grasped his feet and she worshiped him. Boy, I wish that was our response today. Our response is, he's risen. Let's paint some eggs. He's risen. Let's play with bunnies. I wish our response was, he is risen. He is who he says he is. Let's clasp his feet and let's worship him because he is who he says that he is. The empty tomb confirmed that he truly is who he says that he is. Number two, the empty tomb confirmed that Jesus did what he said he was going to do. He told his disciples, 3 days I'll be in that grave, but I'm coming back out. I know that's not what your Bible says. That's Kierkegaard, but that's what he meant. Let me tell you something. It was perfectly appointed by God that at that appointed time in history, he came forth from the grave. And we have not measured time the same since. Because Jesus Christ is alive, and he did what he said that he was going to do, something that no man had ever done. Did you know that? Yeah, Lazarus came forth from the grave, didn't he? Because Jesus called him forth from the grave. But no man had ever just got up and walked out of his own grave but Jesus Christ, the one who claimed he was going to. So we don't have to complicate this. We don't have to make this some kind of intellectual marvel or mystery. Here's the deal. Jesus got up out of the grave and walked out, caused an earthquake, rolled a stone away. An angel sat there in his presence as he got up and he walked out of the tomb just like he said he was going to. So simply put, here's the thing. I'm going to trust a guy who can prove that he's able to do everything that he says he's able to do. Have you ever met people who they claim they can do things, but you never see them do them? I could tell you that I could run fast, but it's never going to happen. Jesus was the guy who what he said happened. Here's the thing. You can look through everything that Jesus Christ said while he was on this earth. Everything that he promised that he was going to do, he has done. Or will do. That's why I get excited about his return. Because the same Jesus said, in 3 days I'm jumping up out of this grave, is the same Jesus said, in one day I'm coming back and I'm coming to rescue you. Everything that he has said up until the point where he's going to come and rescue me is true. I'm excited about the truth of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Some people, they're fearful about that. And you're fearful about that because you don't quite understand yet that Jesus is capable of doing all that he said he is going to do. One day he will return to this earth and he will rescue those of us who are in him. Praise and glory to him. And one day he will conquer the armies of the world. And one day he will set up his kingdom in Jerusalem where he will rule and reign. Praise the Lord, and we will be there with him. Because he said he would. That gives me hope. That makes me excited. We see the tomb confirms that Jesus is who he said he is. Jesus did or can do whatever he says that he can do. And then the third thing, pay attention to this one. This one's important for you. Definitely important for me. Because I know my old life. My old life was wretched, sinful, pitiful, poor. And I was blind and I was naked. And I was thirsty and I was hungry. And all those things that I hungered after trying to find fulfillment in the world, Jesus came to me. And he gave me new life, no longer to live that life for those things, but to live for the things that he crafted me now in him to live for. Jesus, number three, empty tomb confirms to us this, that Jesus has the power to give new life. Let me tell you something, whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever it is, fill in the blank, you know. You don't have to tell me. God already knows. If you need help from God, go directly to God if you're one of his children here today and say honestly, God, I need help with whatever it is that fits in your blank. I need you to give me victory over this thing. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sinful stronghold. Maybe it's a habit that you don't like in your life. Maybe it's church attendance. Maybe it's your service to God. Whatever it is, I promise you this, that he has the power to usher you into a new life that walks in obedience to what he has commanded us to do. I love when Christians say, well, I just can't do that. Because I get to come back and say, I know you can't. And God knows you can't. Because you don't have what it takes in and of yourself to do that. But here's the good news. Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, got up out of that grave, confirming to me that you too are going to get up out of the grave of your old self to walk in new life. And through Him, you can. So understand. The tomb confirms for us that Jesus has the power to give new life because He rose from the grave. Here's the deal. Wherever you are. You say, well, preacher, I don't want anybody to know where I am. Here's the thing. I don't want to know where you are. That's not saying I don't care. It's none of my business. If you make it my business, I promise you, I'll care. I'll pray for you. I'll help you any way I can. But here's the thing. You don't have to air out your dirty laundry to get help from God. Go directly to God. It's this simple. Let's don't complicate it. I'm sick and tired of my old life. Because I promise you this, there's only one who can give you a new life, and His name is Jesus. And I need new life. If you're here today and you're sick and tired of your old life, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of your sin and your wretchedness, let me tell you what, God has let you get to that position so that He can usher you into new life in Christ. So that He can resurrect your old, dead, sinful self and give you the new life, the Spirit-filled life following Jesus Christ in obedience to the Word of God. Jesus' empty tomb confirms those things for us, that Jesus is who He said He is. Jesus did what He said He would do. Jesus has the power to give new life. Here comes the therefores. This is the lesson for all of us. Because we know that. Most of us here, that's why we're here, right? How many of you came here today to celebrate the fact that Jesus' tomb is empty? So I spent 10 minutes of my time reaffirming that. So what does this mean? This is where we usually jump off the tracks. The therefore after that. Jesus is alive. What happens next? What is the responsibility that now falls on us as human beings? Because how many of you here, anyone want to argue? Because I promise you, I've stood at the door, it's empty. You can't argue with me about it. You can't convince me otherwise. He's alive. You want to argue? Anybody stand up? Because you could stand up and say something and it could be hideous. And I'd say, nope, it's empty. Well, I'd go straight up third grade on you. Empty. Alive. Still empty. Alive. So I'm not here to convince you that Jesus is alive. When He comes to you today for the first time, He's going to convince you in your heart. You're going to know immediately He is alive because something's speaking to my inner being right now that has never spoken to me. Revealing things to me that have never been revealed to me. Breaking me and humbling me like I've never been broken and humbled. That's what happens when He reveals the fact that He's alive. And if you know I'm here today, this is not a newsflash. He lives in you. You know He's alive. But it's the therefores where we sometimes get off course. So therefore is that I sometimes get off course. Let's pay attention to this. Jesus, the fact that the tomb that He spent three nights in is now empty, confirms those three things that we looked at. He is who He said He is. He did what He said He was going to do. And He has the power to give us new life. Therefore, we should, number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Surrender to His Lordship. Didn't all of you just agree with me a second ago when I said, He is who He said He is? Well, we're not sure anymore. You all agreed a second ago that He is who He said He is, and an empty tomb confirms that, right? So if He is who He said He is He not the King of kings and Lord of lords? So ask yourself this question, is He in control of your life? I told you that therefore is what get us. Because He's alive, we can all come and we can celebrate. He's alive. He's alive. But because He's alive, what does that mean? That means this. We need to surrender to His Lordship over our lives because we said it's confirmed that He is who He says He is because His tomb's empty. And if He is who He says He is He not King of kings and Lord of lords? And if He is King of kings and Lord of lords and He's not controlling your life, let me tell you this, He's not your Lord. So much for the flowery Easter message you came to receive. He's not Lord only with these. He must be Lord of everything because Lord means complete control. If at some point in time some slick-talking preacher told you that if you just walk this out and pray this prayer, just get on about your merry business, everything's going to be all right and you're going to go to heaven. If at some point in time that happened in your life, I'm here to say this to you, please don't get offended, that preacher lied to you. In order to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, please pay attention. Have we all agreed He is who He said He is? And the Word of God confirms over and over and over again, He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So if He is your personal King of kings and Lord of lords, there has been a point in your life where you have surrendered to that revealed fact. And you no longer have the controls of your life. You say, well, Kirk, that seems harsh on Easter. We want to feel flowery and happy today. I want you to, too. And let me tell you this, the only happiness and fulfillment that I find is found in submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because that is what He created me to do and to be. You say, but I want to be in control of my life. Hey, go for it. But you're not. You're not in control of your life. You're not in control of your destiny. There's one who is in control of all, and you already admitted that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So I'd say to you today, if you believe that Jesus' tomb is empty and by this He is who He says He is, then you ought to surrender to His lordship today. You ought to surrender to His lordship today. You know, I find it interesting. That's Lee Strobel. He went with an intellectual approach. How many of you have seen the movie Case for Christ? It's out. There's a book. But the fact of the matter is his whole effort was to prove that Jesus Christ was a hoax. And he came from an intellectual approach. And that's okay because God made him an intellect. So that's the approach he came from. He made me a whatever is opposite of an intellect. And that's what approach I come from. You can fill in the blank of whatever that is. Believe me, I've heard them all. And the thing is, for me, it's pretty simple. The fact that the tomb's empty means He is who He says He is. And if He is who He says He is, then I am required to surrender to Him. That means on my face, on my knees, and humility to the King of kings and Lord of lords. There I'll find the new life that He promised. So, the empty tomb confirms that Jesus is who He says He is. Therefore, we should surrender to His lordship. Number two, the empty tomb confirmed that Jesus did what He said He could do. So we ought to, what He would do. So we ought to stand on His promises. We ought to stand on His promises. The fact that whatever He says is true. You know what I wish? I wish we would get back to the red letters in the Bible and forget about all the other stuff that people argue about. Because the fact of the matter is this, is we argue about all the other things because we won't just stop and agree on the red. Because if we stopped and agreed on the red, we could agree to disagree and make peace. Because Jesus wants us as the church, He wants us to be one with Him as He and the Father are one, just as He prayed in John for us. So ask yourself this, am I standing on His promises? I'm going to help you out. If you don't know Him, you're not standing on Him. We have no excuse in our society. Did you know this for thousands of years? Thousands of years. People had no access to this. And they craved it. Many, 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 many men and women have fought and died to preserve this. So that every one of us spoiled American children who are here today and have three virgins on just one electronic device that we hold in our hand can no longer value it or value what it says or spend time learning it so that we can stand on it. Hello? Do you know there are many people groups who still don't have this in their own language? We must, as a child of God, take the opportunity to learn the promises that Jesus Christ made so that we can stand on those promises. Because in this life, there's all kinds of trials. We know that. In this life, there's all kinds of trouble. In this life, there's lots of lessons that we all must learn. And I promise you this. I have not been able to find one single one that Jesus Christ did not teach me on and give me strength and hope to make it through that's contained within the pages of His Word. I promise you. You say, well, preacher, would you even try to find some? I have. Maybe I'm wrong for that. Lord, show me something that's not in here. There's always something that leads me to a truth that I can stand on in Him and have hope. So if He is who He says He is, surrender to His Lordship. And if He's able to do what He said He can do, stand on His promise. Some of you are still holding on to that addiction you've been holding on to for years, and He said He'd cut you loose from it. You just hadn't stood on it. Oh, what an awesome thing, an Easter service, right? Where actually someone would take God up on His promises to deliver them from the things that are holding them back from serving Him. Oh no, we're supposed to come here and look all pretty and neat and then go eat ham with our family. Why ham? Turkey. Beef. Ribeye. Stand on His promise. He is who He says He is, and He's able to do what He said He can do, and the Word of God confirms that. Stand on it. You know what I'd love to see in my lifetime? I would love to, and I believe God's raising it up here. I really do. Let me say that. You people keep listening to the Word of God. Keep learning the Word of God. He is raising up a group among a dark and horrible place. He's raising up a group who's learning how to stand on the promises of God. Oh, wait a second. It's funny because I love to see young Christians grow. And they say, well, this man said this, but it's not in the Word. And I just can't believe it. I said, good job. Good job. Because I'm going to promise you this. I know enough about me to know this. I need to put more trust in what He says and what I think. Because I'm wrong all the time. He's wrong none of the time. Therefore, stand on His promise. Number three, because His tomb is empty, we've seen that He has power to give new life. So watch this. Serve Him with the new life He's given you. Crazy concept. Very simple. Probably too simple for all you intellects. He didn't save you so that you can sit in an air-conditioned building on a bench or on a pew or on a comfortable chair and do nothing. It's time we get back to preaching the truth of the gospel. Let me tell you something, people. He left you here for a purpose. And that purpose is not to go through this mundane life with all your selfish rituals and then end up like everyone else, a tombstone. He left you here and He's given you new life so that new life can be lived for the glory of God, and grace will be your tombstone. Think about it for a second. If He is who He said He is, and if He can do what He said He can do, and He has the power to give new life, shouldn't it be our response then to surrender to His Lordship and then to stand on His promises and then take it a step further and serve Him with every fiber of our being? But we're just not interested in that, unfortunately, in our country these days. We're interested in being served. You know what's sad? Most churches grow because people are constantly serving people so that they'll constantly come back. I'm thankful I don't have to do that. I'm thankful that I have the liberty to serve the Lord and to say this to all of you who are part of this church. Follow me as we serve the Lord together. Let's find new ways to bring Him glory with the new life that He blessed us with, because He is the true giver of life. And when people ask why we do what we do, we say, because we serve a risen Savior. He's placed new life in me. And I can promise you right now, there is nothing good in Kirk Hall except Jesus Christ and the new life that He placed inside of me, period. So shouldn't our response be to serve Him with the new life we've been given? You know what, unfortunately, new life in our country, and across Christianity globally even to a certain degree, has become more or less an insurance policy for heaven. I'm good, therefore I'm going to do what I want to do, live my life ever how I choose to live my life, and then I'm going to get heaven. Isn't it sad that the Savior of the world gave Himself so that we can abuse it like that? I don't say these things to guilt you into service. I say these things because they're real. I'm talking about serving Him. I'm talking about this. This is really going to wreck your life real quick. Watch this. I'm talking about a life that looks for opportunity to serve Him. Who wakes up every day and says, Lord, I'm laying my life down. Show me what You want me to do with the new life that You've given me today. What would happen? Everybody just close your eyes and let the first thought enter your mind. What would happen in your life? Your life was first to serve the Lord. Second, to serve others. And most importantly, in everything that you did, to bring glory to God. How many of you still believe Jesus is who He said? Yeah. He can do what He said He could do. And He is the giver of new life. Why would He give you new life? So you can live like you always lived. He gave you new life so that you can change from a person who lived a selfish life to the example that He gave us of a person who lives a servant's life. I don't say these things to hurt your feelings. I promise you, I'm hearing the same thing you're hearing. What would happen if we got the therefores right? Because we can all agree He's alive. We can sing the songs. We sing four songs about it. He's alive. Therefore, have you surrendered to Him as your Lord and Savior? He's alive. Therefore, are you standing on His truth from His Word? You believe this more than you believe your own opinion or the opinion of others. He's alive. Therefore, are you serving Him with the new life that He's given you, or are you just taking it for granted every single day? So the conclusion, here we go. Watch this. The tomb's empty. Now doesn't it require a response? Well, it required a response for the first lady who got there. Go tell them all that I'm alive. And you tell them I'm going to meet. He gave them specific instructions that it required their obedience. Go tell them I'm alive. I am who I say that I am. I did what I said I was going to do. And I have given them new life. Tell them, come up there. And on those seashores where they met Him, Peter, who had just denied Him, was restored. Because of the new life that Jesus had the power to give him. The fact is, the tomb's empty. Think about this and I'm done. Have you surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ personally? Have you surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ personally? Husbands, listen to me. Because your wife is born again does not mean you are born again. Wives, listen to me. Because your husband is born again does not mean you are born again. Children, please listen to me. Because your parents have raised you in a Christian home does not then give you imputed righteousness. The only righteousness that is ever imputed to you comes from Jesus Christ Himself, or it doesn't come at all. Talking about a personal surrender to His Lordship. We all said He's alive. Well, it requires a response, doesn't it? What if Mary would have said, no thanks, I'm going to go do my own thing. Nah, I'm over it. Oh, I tried that. No, she obediently responded. She surrendered to Him. She stood on His promises. Believer, listen to me. Are you standing on His promises today? When you're faced with something, do you act or react just like the world? We got to apply the principles of His Word, the things that He has told us that are true. He is who He said He is, and He means what He says. He means He has the power to do exactly what He said He has the power to do. Are you trusting with everything? And then are you using the new life you've been given to serve Him daily? Using the new life that He has given to serve Him daily. I don't know where you are, but He does. And here's the thing, even if I knew where you were in this, you'll never, ever, ever stand before me. But I promise you, you can surrender to Jesus Christ in this life, as we've seen, should be our response. You can neglect to do that. You'll stand before Him in judgment one day, I assure you. You stand your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. The confirmation of the empty tomb, I know, I get it, a very simple approach to the resurrection message. But I'm a very simple guy. Jesus was a very simple teacher. You're either all in or you're not in. You're either one of my followers or you're following after the things of your flesh. What is it? For each individual, you're at a different point in your life. I get that. I understand that. I was there where I stood, where you are standing right now. When God, through His Holy Spirit, revealed to me for the first time that I am a sinner and I am in need of surrendering my life to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and crying out to Him in repentance to forgive me, to turn from my old life and receive His new life. You're here today, every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here today and you say, Pastor, I feel right now in my heart that God is telling me to surrender my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've played the church game, I've walked the aisle, I've prayed the prayer. There was never any calling from my Lord to surrender to His Lordship, and right now I feel in my heart He's telling me to do that. Would you humble yourself before God? You said His tomb's empty. Therefore, He is who He says He is. Is He your Savior and your Lord personally? That's what I want to ask you today. If you're here and you say, no, but I need Him to be. I'm willing to turn from my sin and to turn to Him. I need Jesus to save me today. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you, pray for you. I don't care if you're on the floor or you're in the balcony. If God is telling you in your heart today that you need to surrender to Jesus and cry out to Him in repentance for forgiveness of your sin, would you slip up your hand and be honest with Him this morning? Anyone like that? Thank you. Would you keep it up for me? Says, I need Jesus to save me this morning. Anyone else who says, that's me, Pastor, thank you. Keep that up for me. I need Jesus to save me today. I'm not ashamed to ask Him because He is who He said He is. Thank you. I see you, sir. I see you. Thank you. Keep those hands up for me. Allow the Holy Spirit to keep speaking to your heart. He's doing a work in you right now. Anyone else who says, that's me. Anyone upstairs, that's me. I need Jesus to save me today. And I want to surrender to His Lordship. Your hands are in the air. I want you to look at me right now. Just you guys who have your hands in the air, I want you to look at me eye to eye. You believe God's telling you that today? Sir, do you believe God's telling you today to surrender your life to Jesus? Ma'am, do you believe God's telling you to repent of your sin and surrender your life to Jesus? Sir, do you believe that? Listen, I'm going to encourage you guys to do something in just a second. It's going to take courage. It's going to take humility. And I promise He is who He said He is. He'll give you the strength, give you the humility to do it. Do each of you today at this very moment desire, pray, and ask Jesus Christ to save you from your sin? The Bible says this. The Bible says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and we shall be saved. Do you desire to be saved from your sin today? Those of you who had your hands up, look at me eye to eye. Just you. You desire to surrender your life to Jesus today, no matter what it costs. It could cost you everything. I want you to pray this with me. This prayer won't save you. You're acknowledging to God, God, I acknowledge the work You're doing and I surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I need to surrender to You as my Savior and as my Lord. I turn from my sinful life and I turn to You and to You alone as my Savior and Lord. I leave my old life and I accept Your new life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for saving me. Please fill me with Your Spirit. Teach me to live this new life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Only you folks who said that was me. Look at me eye to eye. I want you to do something. It's going to take some courage. And you're going to have to say, excuse me. And I promise you, people will be happy to get out of your way. I want you. We said we talked about standing on the promises. What we're going to do is we're going to take the Word of God. Just right now as I'm talking, you can get out of your seat. I want to meet you right here. If you're on this side, I want to meet you right here at this side. Really mean business with Him. Are you willing to humble yourself before all these people and say, I need Jesus to save me? Praise the Lord. You guys stand right here. Thank you. Stand right here. You guys take all the time you need to tell these folks what just happened according to the Word of God. Anyone else who said, that's me, Pastor. I need Jesus to save me because He is who He says He is. Isn't it awesome how He reveals that? And when we see that, man, we can't help but respond to Him. He loves us in spite of us. Maybe you're here today. You say, Kirk, I know I'm a believer. I don't trust Him like I should. Listen, the altars are open. Get on your face and cry out to God. God, I'm sorry when I don't trust Your promises, when I doubt. Please teach me not to doubt. He will, I promise you, He will confirm over and over and over again, no matter how many times it takes. He is conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ, and He's promised that the work that He started in you, He will carry it unto completion. Keep trusting Him. Maybe you're that believer here today. God is putting in you right now fire to serve Him like you've never felt in your life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Who would say that? I'm a believer and I believe God is putting a fire in me to serve Him right now, because I haven't been doing it, but I desire to serve Him in a way that will not only impact the people around me in this life, but that would impact people for all the ages. Who would say, I need to cry out to God to confirm today to Him, Lord, I see that You're drawing me to serve You like never before, and Lord, I'm willing to be obedient. Who would say that? Because I'm just going to pray for you. That's all I want to do. Just raise your hand up. Lord Jesus, I pray for these who say, Lord, I feel You creating a fire in me to serve. God, I pray You give them the strength, You give them the knowledge that they need. God, that You give them the direction from Your Holy Spirit, that You protect them from outside influences that will veer them off their course. God, I pray that You would use these men and women in their service to You to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that most importantly, You would be glorified with every effort that they make in serving You. The altars are open. If you have a prayer need today, there are people up front, prayer partners who are here to pray with you, pray for you. You're a believer. Maybe you need to confess some things today and you'd like to humble yourself on the altar. We're a little old-fashioned around here. We don't mind you humbling yourself at an old altar and just getting right with God, humbling yourself before men and before God and saying, I don't care what anyone else thinks about me. What's most important is what God thinks about me. These altars are open. If you need prayer, we're here to pray with you. But allow the Spirit of Christ to have His way in your life.
He came.